Jane is totally colored money. So they're just looking at her like, this
she's
is not
colored money.
She's colored. She's the color of money. Literally. They're just look at her and there's like a giant like $100 bill like walking around.
Shaped like Katie.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. It's a special day today.
Oh, it sure is.
I mean, I guess it depends how you look at it. Some people might be thrilled about this and some people might be, I don't know, indifferent.
I'm not indifferent. I have strong feelings about it.
This has come hotly requested by you guys. You've been wanting us together to recap the show. And so it sort of seemed like inevitable now that I look back.
It is inevitable. This is our fate, our destiny.
Our destiny. For anyone new to Dear Shandy, the majority of this podcast is us giving relationship advice as a happily married couple.
Indeed.
But for me, separately, I've been recapping the show in the written form on various outlets for around 7 years. Whew. Time flies. That's freaky, actually.
Wow.
But
it's a lot of recaps.
It's a lot of recaps.
That's a lot of amazing journeys.
A lot of amazing journeys. And just when I think I'm going to run out of things to say, I just always have more stuff to say about it.
I'm so impressed. I am in awe.
Thanks.
You're just drawing out of a well that is just like everyone gave up on it and you're just taking gallons of water out of it just magically. It's
somehow. So do you feel ready to get started on this premiere recap?
Let's do this.
You're stoked. We've
Let's
got
do
notes.
This.
We've got faces and names. We're ready.
We're going to do this.
So the premiere starts off with your typical get reacquainted with the lead B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting some ITMs and some B-roll shots of her leaning against Barnes awkwardly. I thought this was super endearing.
Yeah. Down to earth.
She's super down to earth. She really seems that way. I got some Hannah B vibes from her during this lean against the barn naturally or unnaturally scene where she said people don't do this naturally.
This is very a good observation. She's on top of it. She's very grounded in the reality of her reality.
And not taking herself too seriously.
Yes.
It always puts me off a bit when someone's a little too okay with posing for B-rolls.
Yes. Yes.
Like if they're leaning across the barn a little too naturally, it's like, why is that so natural for you?
I agree.
Yeah. So slight Hannah B vibes there. That was something Hannah B was pretty known for. But I also think it's interesting that the show decided to air that.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly know that that speaks to audiences at this point. And they're like, oh, she's showing some down to earth. What am I doing here vibes? Let's show that.
Yeah.
It'll make her even more likable.
And relatable.
Yes. Okay, so then we get this opening segment where we get some ITMs and we hear about her backstory, her upbringing. What really stood out to me here is how her sex positivity is really going to be a major talking point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did show up on Matt James' season with a dildo. We all know. I should be wearing pearls to clutch.
Heavens to Betsy. Watch your mouth.
I know. With a dildo. But really, the rest of her time on Matt James' season was not particularly like sex-oriented. You know, she just sort of showed some confidence in that arena with her opening night gimmick. But the rest of her time there was really her being a nice person.
Yeah. I think the production has just decided that they have moved from amazing to journey to sex positive. That's now the word.
That's the arc.
The phrase.
And if anyone doesn't believe me, there were a couple of, these are just ones that I happened to notice. I didn't even go through with a fine tooth comb. There were a lot of Frankenbitten voiceovers. For example, where she talked about what she's looking for. She said, I want to find someone that I can connect with on all levels. And then here it was an ITM. You could see her saying this on our minds, on our hearts, how we see the world. And then it cut away. So it was a voiceover again. On a sexual level. We didn't see her say on a sexual level. So to me, that shows that that was edited in.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like the fortune cookie thing where you just, after the fortune, you just say in bed. It's basically the same exact thing.
Again, during the limo exits where there was a montage of humor, she was talking about how much she liked humor, and there were all these sex jokes.
I like when people talk about liking humor,
but it's also like I know what they mean,
right? I enjoy humor.
I also enjoy humor.
Everyone should enjoy humor.
Yes,
Very important.
If someone doesn't enjoy humor, there's something wrong with them. Yes. So during these limo exits, all the sex puns were put together in a montage, and you could hear her say in a voiceover, "I love the sexual puns." So clearly they put sexual in there. It sounded a little off.
I love the sexual puns.
And then in the preview for the rest of the season, we heard a voiceover of one of the guys say, "She's beautiful, she's funny, she's sex positive."
She's beautiful, she's funny,
she's sex positive.
Clearly we're being fed how sex positive Katie is. I don't think it's inaccurate. I do think she is that.
I feel like sex positive should be the norm and not sex negative should be the minority, but it's apparently now
it's
interesting to be sex positive.
No, and it's so true that you're mentioning that because this is a show that has fantasy suites, which are ostensibly back-to-back overnight sexy times.
Right. If you're not sex positive, you shouldn't be on The Bachelorette.
But this show kind of plays games in that department.
Well, you got the virgin, which they always the foil of the virgin.
So that brings us, of course, to...
By the way, just as an aside, I would like to start a competition for who of our listeners can guess exactly how many times sex positive is mentioned in the next episode.
Okay.
And you
guess how many gumballs are in the jar.
Exactly. And you don't win necessarily any prize. I'm not going out there right now.
And maybe down the road there will be prizes.
There will be prizes.
If these recaps do well enough where we get sponsorships, then maybe there will be actual prizes in store for you.
So that's it. You have that to look forward to. Prizes for guessing how many times I say sex positive on this season of The Bachelorette.
Oh, no, not on this season. Per episode. So for episode two... Yeah. You have to guess how many times they say sex positive, and it could be frank and bitten in. It doesn't have to be individual sex positives. You don't know what I'm talking about, but sometimes they'll reuse words in voiceovers. And then maybe next week we'll pick a different one for episode three.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good call. So speaking of sex positivity, you mentioned the virgin. We're going to talk briefly about Mike, because to me, it's clear that Mike was cast on this season because of Katie's sex positivity. She's clearly not a virgin. She's not pretending to be a virgin. Obviously, it's intentional. I just wondered if they actively sought out a virgin or if they were like, sweet, this fell in our laps.
I mean, last time they picked a virgin as the Bachelor, kind of backfired. But
I mean, it depends how you define backfire. You could argue that was the most successful.
Genius. But yeah. I always question... whether the virginity, because it's, look, let's be honest, this is not a radical thought, but a man into his late 20s, 30s, who's attractive and, you know, nothing's physically terribly wrong with him, and he seems to have a decent personality, him being a virgin is very unusual.
Well, it usually is intertwined with religion and upbringing.
Yes, ostensibly, but it could also be that he is... not a liker, a desirer of women, or that he's lying.
Those are the options.
Those are the other options. But the jury's out. I haven't judged anything. I haven't seen anything of him. I'm just saying in the past, I believe there have been virgins.
Yeah. There.
And virgins.
Yes. So. Virgins and virgins.
Versions of virgins.
Versions of virgins.
Nice.
Well, I mean, Mike is clearly on the wrong season, and they're not even pretending otherwise, it would seem. And I would argue even that they're leaning as into the sex positivity stuff as they are because they have a virgin on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw from the previews how that
Oh, they've got the whole plot written out.
Yeah.
They've got it ready.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of a chicken or the egg thing.
Yeah.
Did they cast a virgin on her season because she is so sex positive, or are they upping the ante on the sex positivity because they got a virgin?
To be debated.
All right. So we have our intro videos. The only one that really stood out to me here was Andrew S., the pro football player from Vienna.
Right.
Well, who lives in Vienna.
Vienna, by the way, a hotbed of American football. They love opera, they love sausage, and they love football.
That was very cool. I wanted to know way more about that, but instead he really leaned into his British accent.
Well, I was actually confused because in his intro video, I remember vaguely him having not an English accent. And then his English accent was so on point in the limo exit that I asked you, I was like, did he have a British accent? I don't remember. He fooled me.
His
even with the American accent at first. So it's solid.
I thought it was pretty solid. I'm sure that actual Brits out there will disagree with us.
No question.
Yeah, you can let us know how wrong we are.
They're chuckling away right now.
My ex was a Brit, and I used to do an English accent for him, and he was like, he would always say that I sound just like Eliza Doolittle. I would just go too far.
Yes, that's exactly. And when I've hit it perfectly, like my South London accent, which I've done on the podcast, but I will not do again. But I've been told, yeah, that's if I was making fun of a South London accent.
Yeah, it's going too far.
Right.
We just generally want to know more about Andrew S. He seems very likable, very cultured.
Mm-hmm. I like Andrew S.
Yeah, stood out. Some others that stood out, you liked Connor B., a.k.a. Cat Guy, because he had his little ukulele. Guy.
Well, he's also a cat guy.
He's also a cat guy, as are you. I don't know if you are dressed up like a cat.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm not a crazy cat guy. I'm just crazy about cats.
Yes. Yes.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
No, I do agree with that.
I think she thinks I'm crazy.
We were wooed by the ukulele. I thought he was just such a little weirdo in such a good way.
I'm a big fan. It's not just the cat thing for me and the ukulele. I think he's actually, as I believe Katie is, very grounded, very down to earth.
There was a funny moment where he came out in that cat costume and you got a shot of Christian saying, I don't know why you would do that. I have to admit, I laughed really hard at that. Yeah. Something about the way he said it was hilarious.
That was good. He about stole what I wanted to say.
Yeah. The way he said it, it was not performative in the least. It was just like, I don't know why you would do that. He could not understand why someone would do that.
It was perfectly delivered and accurate.
Yes. Yeah. And then one last intro video, Greg. 27 marketing, the eventual winner of the First Impression Rose. He also got an intro video. Yeah. I mean, this guy has front runner everything. Almost to a point of being like too obvious.
It's too obvious. There's going to be some turn at some point.
Yeah,
he's
but we'll get to that.
Much of a front.
Let's
runner.
Not get ahead of ourselves. No. Okay, so night one, we get reacquainted rather with Tayshia and Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin.
Tayshia. It sounds like taint. Yeah. Tayshia is probably better.
Tayshia. The best part of this conversation was that Katie revealed the nugget that none of her exes look similar. And she's really into personality.
Yeah, you really like that.
Yeah. I put it in my notes with gusto. Mm-hmm. I relate to that. None of my exes look similar. I don't really have a physical type. It's all about the cerebral connection.
That's great.
And I like that she said that. And you don't always get a lead who feels that way.
Yeah, oftentimes you get a lead who's literally dated the star quarterback of her high school team 7 times.
Oh, yeah, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And with the occasional personal trainer sprinkled in there.
Yeah, you got always a personal trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes you'll get a lead where you can practically predict the top four based on how conventionally good looking they are.
Yes.
It's basically the top four is the top four most conventionally good looking contestants.
Absolutely. And let's remember, Katie made out with a guy dressed as a cat. So she's not that person.
I guess not.
I mean, the guy was obviously decent good looking underneath the cat outfit.
In general, from Katie, I'm getting Caitlin 2.0 vibes.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sex positivity thing. Like, I don't think it would be crazy to anyone if she did have sex before the fantasy suites, which is, of course, Caitlin's big claim to shame.
Wow, you just slipped on a great phrase.
Claim to fame, for which she was shamed.
I think we might have to have a claim to shame moment for each episode. I love claim to shame.
Oh, really?
That's great. I've never heard that before. You just fell on that.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for coming up with that.
It's going to be on video with a date stamp. You got it.
But in general, 2.0 of Caitlin Bristowe, meaning she's going to make out with the people. Yeah. She's going to
do her own thing.
Have the sex. And that's great. We're excited about it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Tayshia and Caitlin as hosts?
I like Tayshia and Caitlin.
Yeah. They're very likable.
But I think that there is a certain element needed in this show that's like the sort of the man in the sky, the indifferent man or woman, the indifferent entity in the sky who's just sort of indifferent to both the cruelty and the love. He's kind of just a keel.
Yeah, almost like a godlike figure.
Yes. It's like he is the force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that entity should be like teammates. And particularly, like, very sort of on, like, they're basically peers. They're like the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're all bachelorettes.
Yeah.
Like they're very similar. They shouldn't, she shouldn't have such a strong ally. It kind of both makes her journey a little less like high stakes, and it also dilutes her star power. Like there's two big bachelorette.
You've taken all the words out of my mouth right now.
Oh,
I'm so impressed with you.
Hey, look, I was born to do this. I mean, this is what I was here for.
No, I completely agree. I thought they were great. They're very entertaining, high energy, great commentary, all the things. But I actually found myself sort of watching them more. And even when Katie would have these interactions with men, it always came back to Tayshia and Caitlin, like a thumbs up or like the hump move or all these little things that are normally for herself. Like she whispers to herself, oh, he's my type. Yeah. Oh, I liked him.
Right.
He was hot.
Right.
It became performative for the hosts who were also performing back by like eating popcorn. And it just sort of felt a little
cheap.
I was going to pick a more delicate word, but it felt more like one of those group dates you have where a former contestant comes and helps plan the date, and then they're providing all these like sort of hijinks along the way.
Yeah.
But I do agree that it makes it less high stakes for Katie. She's almost too supported.
It's like going on a date and having your like two friends like sit in the background, like come to this restaurant, just watch the date, see what happens.
Yeah.
It changes the dynamic. It's also not fair to Caitlin and Tayshia because it's like they're constantly being forced to create something out of really nothing. They're constantly being forced to create energy, and it's a hard job. It's like they're like, oh, now do something, say something. It's like constant this banter. And it's not, I don't know. I
don't know if they're complaining, but yeah.
They're not complaining.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I agree on all fronts. I maybe will warm up to it, and I can totally see myself by episode three being like, I love this.
Yeah.
But maybe we are traditionalists. And I'm not necessarily saying it has to be Chris Harrison, but I know what you mean. That sort of entity in the sky who doesn't care whether you fail or succeed or
yeah,
fall
he's
in
just
love or
a don't. Vehicle to move the show forward and to guide you through it.
Yes.
And let you make all your mistakes.
Yeah. And even though he claims to care a lot about you finding love, you know, deep down, he doesn't.
He doesn't give a shit.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I have to admit, I missed that. You guys let us know if you agree or disagree with us. Again, nothing against Caitlin and Tayshia.
No, they're great.
Themselves. They were great.
And it's a hard job for them, too. There's not much there. Mm-hmm. They're constantly having to do
it. I mean, that's kind of the story of night one in general. There's so much there and yet nothing at all.
No. A whole lot of nothing.
That's how I feel every time I recap a premiere episode.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what do I even talk about? Just like what guys stood out?
It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. Yeah. It's a real challenge.
All right. So limo exits. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone wants to hear us go through step by step on the limo exits.
Not even the most psycho Bachelor fan wants to hear this.
So what we're going to do instead is do our personal limo exit wins and fails. Mm-hmm. So we each get one win and one fail.
Yep.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I was won over by Cody, the zipper sales manager.
Yes.
Not just a zipper salesman, the manager of zipper sales.
Yes.
So just
again, another career situation I want to know more about.
A lot more. Cody came out and he went through the whole like thing where it's like something serious. And you know, you sort of knew. You're like, okay, this, like after a couple of seconds, you're like, this isn't serious. This is going to be a joke.
Yeah.
So he played it well. But then we all knew it was going to be a dog. Was he called a woman? I forget. He did call it a female or a woman.
I think he said she has kept me comforted.
He referred to it as she has kept me comforted and given me all the strength.
Yeah,
you know, that's something very meaningful. And you knew it was going to be like, I saw a golden retriever just
kept
jumping
kept me warm
out
at night.
Yeah, kept me warm at night. Yeah, you knew it. And I was like, okay, it's going to be a dog, not that
or
fun.
A cat.
As or he a cat. Went, cat would have been funny, actually.
As he went to the car, you were like, as long as it's anything but a cat or a dog, I'll find this funny.
Yes, absolutely. If it was like a chimpanzee, if it was like a baby elephant, anything would have been amazing.
A
except
baby elephant
a dog
would have been more
cat.
Amazing.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. I think that's probably illegal. So, sex doll.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a blow-up doll.
It was a...
Its mouth was not sex
explain
doll
to
mouth.
Me what else that doll does other than act as some sort of sexual thing.
I think it's... The job of that doll is to represent a sex doll in a joke.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
That's a novelty sex
it's
doll.
It's a novelty sex
doll. It's non-functional,
doll.
But you know it's a sex doll.
You know it's a joke about a sex doll.
If you don't want to spend like $400 or $500 on a sex doll for a joke, you buy that.
I would think a sex doll costs more than $400 or $500.
It depends. There are some that are like literally talk to you and those are like $10,000.
I'm not talking about like the AI sex dolls, but I mean the one
like a legitimate one where it's like,
Yeah,
that's probably $400 or $500. I mean, maybe going far. That's probably like a couple.
I'm sure there's a whole
probably
they
runs
run
the gamut. Yeah.
Oh, jinx.
Yeah, there you go. So I really like that. I thought that was solid. The joke landed, mm-hmm. which is rare on those limo exits. And
we both laughed.
And he delivered it with ease and he was not nervous and he did well.
Cody won you over with
that. He won me.
Yeah. Okay. So my limo exit win was Courtney.
Courtney,
26, nutrition entrepreneur. Similar. We have similar taste in mm-hmm. humor.
Yes.
His limo exit was also during the montage about humorous limo exits.
Mm.
But his started out so sincere, similar to Cody, where it was like, oh, I'm so excited to be here to meet you, embark on this journey. It was so sincere. And then it's like, I hope you come to the right conclusion. I know there will be a lot of hard decisions. Yeah. Just his pacing and how it built up. I thought it was really well executed and it landed well with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think he actually had more. I kind of would have wanted to hear. He probably had like 5 or 6 more, but it kind of came to its conclusion.
Yeah. He quit at my tongue could go on for hours.
Right. That was it. That was like, okay.
I just, you know, it's all about delivery for me.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have necessarily expected it from him, especially based on how it began.
Yes.
He really won me
over
with
that. That's the thing. With the humor, you know, you have to set it up like, I don't expect this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys will be laughing and smiling and like, you know,
can't go in like,
goofy.
I'm about to make a joke.
Yeah, you got to be straight, deadpan, serious, and then you pull the trigger.
Yeah, catch the person off guard. Okay, what was your limo exit fail?
Josh, the IT consultant.
Okay.
A big pet peeve of mine. He discussed percentages of why he was there and you
what
know what he was feeling.
Yes.
And those percentages added up to 200.
He said he's 60% optimistic, 20% excited, 20% nervous, but 100% here for her.
He thought he could get away with the butt,
but
it's still 200%.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have it. Fail.
Math fail for Andy. Yeah.
Close runner-up was RV guy, but...
Yeah, it's almost too obvious. It's
But I'll let him have it. He went over the top. He gets credit for that. But
and he went home, so he already got punished. Yeah. We don't need to add the Dear Shandy limo exit fail to his resume.
I agree. Also, he's a surgical skin salesman. So
another one. I wanted to know more about his career. What surgical skin?
Is he selling actual skin from surgeries, or is he selling the procedures that you do with skin? Or either way, it's just a weird sounding thing.
Yes, I want to know everything about that.
Yeah. It's a good pickup line. And like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a surgical skin salesman. Well, what the hell is that?
Yeah. No. Instead, they showed us the inside of an RV that may or may not be his, and we were told that he was eating celery. Okay, my limo exit fail was. This might be a little harsh. People will probably call me harsh for this. Michael, 36, the business owner. He came out with a gift that he at first claimed was a family heirloom, and then he joked that it wasn't. But leading up to that, when he was still in his sincere mode, he said, I have a gift for you. And then sort of under his breath in passing, he said, I'm bearing gifts always. And this sort of rubbed me wrong. I don't like it when guys allude to how generous they are or how many gifts they give when they're dating someone.
Right.
It just, I've dated guys that did that, and it has always rubbed me wrong. And so I know I'm being tough on him, and I know that the rest of his shtick was a shtick. He was joking ultimately. So maybe that was a joke, but if it wasn't, he was an official limo exit fail for me. I don't like it when guys sort of sell themselves in that way.
You always have to assume, and in my experience with people I know, it's almost always the case, is if you are selling yourself that hard with stuff out up front, what are you compensating for?
Yes. There's something about the way he said it suggested I make enough money to be always showering the people I date with gifts. But maybe I am being...
It's very... I respect that. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that was all a joke. But I respect your takeaway.
Not to talk in the third person, but it's a very Charlene observation and criticism.
Yes.
And I can admit I might be being too harsh.
And that's also a very Charlene thing. You get the American and the Canadian just banging up against each other.
It's so true. I'm all about showing and not telling. If you're the kind of person who's generous when you date, just you can show that in your ways. You don't need to tell me about how many gifts you're going to buy me. Anyway,
I agree.
I'm being harsh. Okay, first we get Tayshia and Caitlin asking Katie, did you meet your husband tonight? And I loved her answer to this. She said, I feel like there's potential.
Refreshing.
Refreshing.
Down to earth. Grounded.
Realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Is her husband in that room? There's potential.
She's on a TV show with a bunch of random guys. Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe. But let's be honest. I'm not sure about
this. Historically, you would get the lead saying yes.
Always.
Maybe not always, but for the most part. Even though all signs point to saying yes when prompted with that question.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be the most optimistic of anyone, and she still just said potential.
Again, down to earth.
Down to earth. We're big Katie fans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's some one-on-one time to go around. First up, we have Andrew S. I think the main function of this one-on-one time was to be reintroduced to how ready for love Katie is, because he asked her what she's looking for, and then she said she's ready to be engaged. And then they had a toast in that British accent.
Andrew S. is one of my favorite bachelor football players so far in the franchise. This has been like 100 of them.
Wow, Andrew S. is that high up on your list.
Yeah, I have a fondness already for him. He's up there for the football player category.
Thomas gets some one-on-one time. In general, he is getting a lot of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely effusive.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of tells her how excited he is about her
but
things.
But very serious.
I wrote that too. I said he comes off very sincere, but almost too sincere.
It's
you
got to
start watching
rehearsed.
The show through this lens because there's, as we've talked about on the podcast before, there's too much to gain and it's too easy to game.
It's so easy to game and there's so much to gain and fast. Like there was a time 10 years ago, you were really there. Like, this is fun. Like maybe I'll find love and whatever. I'll be on TV. Yeah. Now it's like, it's a game show.
Yeah.
Like if I make it past night one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get that first impression,
even if you don't make it past
I'm going to get a quarter of a million Instagram followers. I literally will be making a living out of the gate if nothing else in my life works out.
I can completely quit my current job / career / path in life.
Yes.
Pivot and do this other thing now.
Yeah, it's truly. It's
like winning the lottery.
This show got too big for itself in the presence of social media.
It has definitely been a double-edged sword, I would say, because now they have access to contestants or potentials that maybe in the past would have been like, why would I go on that show?
Yeah.
And now you have people being like, I know why I want to go on that show. It's a no-brainer.
It's a game show. Mm-hmm. It is actually way more money than almost any game show, even Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, it's like getting the goose that lays golden eggs instead of just getting a big golden egg.
Yeah, because people, let's face it, people get they get these big prizes on...
you knew what I meant.
Yeah,
I love how you just let that go.
Everyone knew where you were going, so we're good. You landed it somewhat. But it's like you get a big prize on a game show. What's a big prize? A big prize on a game show is 100 grand.
Yeah.
What are you taking home? 50 grand? And that's it. No one cares about you for the rest of your life. Maybe one guy on the street, like once ever, will be like, hey, weren't you that person on the game show? Yeah. That's it. Here, you are literally getting a recurring stream of income for potentially more than a decade.
Yes.
And it's a good stream.
Yes.
If you're willing to sell out hardcore, it's like a really good stream.
Yeah. Also, it's so much more gameable because it requires no actual skill or knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare it to like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where you can only guess for so long.
Right.
Or Deal or No Deal, where it just mathematically, the statistical odds are against you.
Right.
This, you can kind of go in with something of a blueprint of how to stick around.
Yes.
And it really might pay off for you. And even if you don't make it far, let's say you make it to episode 3 or 4, you can still then go on Paradise.
Yep.
And become a major player there and have a million followers.
And to be honest, and this is going to sound sick, but I think it's true. I think some of the emotion you sometimes see from the guys or girls, I guess, is emotion about the potential loss of something big. Like it doesn't have to be love. Like when you're like, I've come close to crying about losing massive amounts of money. Like I know what they're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of a combination. There's so much built up expectation.
But I think they manifest the bigger picture into the woman. So it's like the woman, even if they don't really feel like a love, they're confused. Their brain
the
is totally
colored
money. So they're just looking at her like this
she's
is not
colored money.
She's colored. She's the color of money. Literally. They're just look at her and there's like a giant like $100 bill like walking around
shaped like Katie.
Yeah. Like a full like cartoon hot dog and hamburger situation.
I mean, I hate to say it, it's true. And I think that we would be foolish to recap the show without talking about that. And I feel a little bad. We're going a little, this is all in the context of talking about poor Thomas. Maybe he really is sincere.
Oh my God, Thomas just, he's listening to this and he's like, oh God, they're on to me.
Or he's like, I thought I would marry Katie. Maybe he is. That's you're not buying that.
I'm already. I as much as I'd like to think this is just a theory, I feel pretty strong about it.
Hopefully he'll prove us wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe he really is that sincere.
Maybe. Some people are.
There's some other one-on-one time. I'm going to skip over to Christian's one-on-one time where they briefly talk about the Boston accent and he mentions how he's melting. In general, we were confused by the temperature situation.
Everyone was sweating bullets.
It seemed cold outside.
Yeah.
But extremely hot inside.
I think it was a nighttime desert cold, but inside they had the heat blasting too hard.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We get Marty showing Katie his crystals in his one-on-one time. I felt so bad for him that this was taken out of context. It was just put in a montage where he's like, here's my pyrite. Here's my moonstone or whatever. It was just like, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, he took the wrong crystals out. The crystals weren't used right.
Because he went home.
He went home, yeah. Bad crystals.
Finally, major one-on-one time with Greg. So Greg's theme, it seems to be, is that he's surrounded by kids. Everyone around him is married and popping out babies.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a dad. I wrote, dude wants to be a dad.
I mean, bad.
Bad.
Real bad.
I really liked this exchange. There was nothing not to like about this. I loved how he said, it's too soon to give you something. And she said, it's never too soon in this bubble.
Mm-hmm.
She's great at pulling back the curtain, showing that fourth wall. You know, to reference the bubble while you're in the bubble is very meta.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, they wouldn't have aired something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
She's basically acknowledging that things are different there and it's all wonky and you can give me a gift now because things are weird in this environment. This is not normal.
Yeah. And she's basically, you're condensing what should be like a 3-month courtship to basically like, you know, 3 total hours of together time.
It's not an exaggeration, honestly. He gives her the pasta necklace that his niece made. This was just cute.
Cute.
I wrote front runner in all caps. It's not surprising to anyone that Greg is a front runner. Okay, we get a brief hockey playing and hug with Brendan, the Canadian from Toronto. Mm-hmm. Always need to mention Canadians. He seems serious, but I have hopes. High hopes for Brendan.
Still too serious.
Trey has his one-on-one time in his truck of balls. And there were lots of ball
Another
jokes.
Joke that I don't... Just, I guess balls is funny and I don't know. I didn't get that one.
Yeah, I in general think the ball joke can only go so far.
Yeah, I felt like the ball joke should have been left at, you know, they went back to the ball joke.
Yeah.
Like he went back to the RV, which is a terrible call, by the way.
No, we're talking about the truck.
No, I'm talking about the other guy.
Oh, went back to the RV.
The surgical skin salesman.
So you are anti going back to the gimmick in which you arrived.
Oh, unless that gimmick is hilarious and has legs.
Yeah.
There's nothing hilarious about an RV and there's nothing hilarious about a truck with balls in the back. He should have left it as it was. It's fine. He probably has probably quality airtime. They got to sit in the truck with balls, but I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, it was just mostly ball jokes.
Just ball jokes that aren't very funny, but good guy otherwise.
Yeah, I don't blame you for having that criticism.
Yeah.
I think we're just sort of over ball jokes. There's only so many jokes you can make about balls.
Yeah. It's really until you just actually pull your balls out. That's the final ball joke where a guy just comes out like hanging balls. That would be an amazing limo exit.
It would be.
Yeah, they just have the black box there. Yeah, and it's like, I just want you to know it takes a lot of balls to come on this show. You just have to deliver it very
deadpan. I mean, to me, that's funnier than coyly
talking about
various balls.
If you
want
to go balls,
various balls.
Just bring out the balls, the actual balls.
Okay, so Justin gets his one-on-one time. You like Justin.
I do. I'm a sucker for guys who can paint.
You are. You're a sucker for guys who are artistic.
Talented artists. I'm a sucker for them. Yeah.
It's cute.
But I like, he's also kind of a little quirky. You don't exactly know where he's coming from. There's a full person in there.
He also gets honorable mention for his limo exit, the stroke, stroke, stroke.
Oh, yeah, that was a good. Yeah. And masturbation jokes are not easy to pull off because they're so dumb usually.
And considering the paintbrush actually tied into something he actually does.
It was well crafted.
Some people would be like, haha, it's just my paintbrush. And then they don't actually paint. They just have it as a prop. Oh, in his case, he actually paints.
He's a real painter. Yeah, that joke worked. And he went in way too soon for a kiss. But nevertheless, he did have a kiss. And that
he
has weight.
The first shown kiss of the season. Mm-hmm. And I say shown because we're going to take their word for it that it was aired in order. But I do think it was the first kiss.
Probably.
I don't know if I bought the chemistry, though.
I didn't buy it. All I'm saying is you got to give some weight to the first kiss. It's got to have some. And she didn't. It's not like she didn't reciprocate it. Like, it didn't seem like she was disgusted by it.
Yeah.
She seemed kind of sort of into it a little.
Yeah. I guess I just like for that first kiss to be a little like slower and more sensual.
It came out of he was just like, let me get this down.
Yeah,
the way.
Yeah,
get this first kiss down.
The first kiss needs to feel more exploratory. And this felt like I'm planting a flag on the moon right now.
I was watching and I literally didn't even know what happened. I was like, how are they kissing now? What just happened?
Yeah,
so,
I agree. But his painting was amazing.
I'd like to see his other work.
Yes.
I like Justin.
Yeah. No,
I have a feeling Justin's going to let me down sometime in the next few episodes. I have a feeling, but my heart's with Justin a little bit.
Okay, so we're going to pass through a few other one-on-one times, including Jeff's with the tour of his RV, poor guy. We move on to a really weird exchange between Aaron and Cody. Aaron, we catch saying, I don't like you, bro.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, there was no buildup.
It's staged. What happened? How do you even have time to hate someone? Like, what are they doing? What did he do? Did he step on his foot? What happened?
I got the impression Aaron is a bad drunk in general. For me, it felt like the cameras got in late to this situation. It just sort of came out of nowhere. There was no buildup, no context. We didn't see any exchange between them that would suggest that they had any kind of beef.
Can I say something else?
Yeah.
Why were they outside? Explain to me how that progressed. So did he say to Cody, like, hey, listen, I want to talk to you outside
for a
second?
That's what I think, because usually that's what would happen. And that's why I think the cameras were late, because by the time they got there, there was already conflict brewing. And to give you a little inside baseball, what they do, especially on night one, before even the camera people know your faces and your names, is your mic pack has a number on it. And then they have a chart with numbers attached to names and faces so that they can hear, oh, from mic 15, it's getting heated. And then you look for mic 15. Oh, it's Aaron. And then you find Aaron and chase him outside.
Cool.
So they're also working with basically a legend on night one.
Sure.
So I get the impression that there was not much buildup, because had there been a lot of buildup to warrant this exchange, the cameras would have been on it sooner, which makes me think. We think that it might have been staged.
And staged by them, not by the producers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Not by producers.
Like, they were just like, hey, I think we can do something here that'll get us a few more episodes at least. And that sort of foots, because I do have a little soft spot for Cody because of the sex
doll. I really like Cody, yeah.
But the other guy, what's his name?
Aaron.
I feel like he's one of those sort of, not calling him a Thomas. That's so mean to Thomas now. He's like an actual name for someone who's on the show just to get Instagram followers. But he feels Thomas-y to me in his just demeanor in general. So it wouldn't surprise me if he orchestrated that with Cody. And Cody was just like, oh, okay, maybe that's a good idea.
Wasn't Aaron also the one who in his limo exit said, people tell me all the time that I have a nice smile?
I think you're right.
That also rubbed me wrong. Maybe that should be my new limo exit fail, talking about how many compliments you get on your smile.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm replacing Michael with Aaron for limo exit fail.
Oh, wow.
Aaron's really gone to the bottom of the barrel here.
Maybe he's a villain. Maybe he wants to be the villain.
Here's the thing. If it wasn't staged, they sure as hell were not leaning away from having conflict for the sake of harmony.
Yes.
Which in and of itself shows why they were cast on the show and why they want to be there.
And why did we not see any sign of it before or any sign of it after?
Yeah.
It's like, it was just like this one moment where he's just like, let's go outside and have me tell you how much I don't like you.
Yeah.
And Cody's reaction, by the way, was a little unnatural. Like, I would have been like, what are you talking about? What are you doing?
We do think that there's something up there because these are professional camera people. We know that The Bachelor, they don't let a moment of drama go by uncaptured. How did they get to this so late? I would think because there wasn't a lot of buildup, which makes me think that there's something unnatural about the
whole
thing.
Or he was just amazingly wasted and he carries his alcohol well on the surface.
One or the other. Okay, next up we have James's one-on-one time. He was the gift. I felt that this was a little misleading. He was like, come find me later for your gift. It turns out he was the gift.
It was another setup without any punchline.
You're right.
Like, what was the punchline? That he's like him just coming out of the box, all dressed nice and looking coiffed. Like, how is that funny or what was the point of that?
No, it's true.
He just wanted to create a center of attention for himself.
Well,
because
let's remember, it's not like he came up with this.
Oh, no,
himself.
Whoever, whatever his thing
him
was.
Him and his producers.
Yeah, people wanted him to be a center of attention in a weird way.
I suspect that a producer was like, do you have a good idea? What about this?
And he was like, fine.
Yeah, and they sourced a wrapped box on wheels for him. And
there was no end game there, though. Like, I don't understand what the joke was.
I love how it'll be fun to go through this season with you and how you analyze humor, because you're right. There is no punchline.
It's a setup without a punchline.
It's like, hey, and it's me who you've never met before. This is what I look like. I'm your gift.
Surprise. Yeah. I'm a man dressed well, looking good. Yeah. Out of the box.
Nonetheless, she seemed into him.
Yeah.
More than I would have expected.
He seemed almost too smooth. He almost too much smoothness.
Oh, smooth we're critical operator. Of smoothness.
No, if smoothness is real, but I think his smoothness is, he's been working on some smoothness.
As we talked about on that Love Fest with Ben Higgins and his fiancée Jess Clark, smoothness is not always a good thing.
Not always.
I think we talked about safe and smooth and how someone who's safe might not be smooth.
Right.
But that's actually a good thing because I feel that smoothness can often be an affect.
I agree. And by the way, safe and smooth, great brand name for a cosmetic line.
A razor or a woman's razor, safe and smooth.
Yeah. Safe. It's an N with a
safe and smooth. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So finally, speaking of safe and maybe not so smooth, but adorable, we have Connor B, aka Cat Guy, with his one-on-one time. This was adorable. They played the big piano. You know, like I say big, like the movie Big.
Yeah.
They played the big piano.
Really badly, which was great.
But also kind of acceptably well.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Could have been worse.
Yeah.
And he gave her cat ears and paws. They were cute.
It was a full-on furry party. It was great.
I loved how he said, you're a person who wants to build people up instead of tear people down. It showed observation and thought instead of just being like, I'm so excited to be here. I think you're great. It was just such a sweet little exchange. And then they kissed. We were like, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Because he had his cat nose on his nose.
Right.
And they did it and it was hot.
It was hot and furry. Hot. It was intense. And good for him. It takes balls to go in with a full cat outfit and makeup for a kiss.
Usually the contestant in the full costume animal getup
on
night one.
No romance.
Is there for comedic relief.
Yeah, no romance.
Yeah. In this case, he's legit front runner.
And she was into it and she had like, it was like almost like a Disney cartoon. She had like his cat makeup on her nose. It was, I mean, that's one of the most, to me, one of the hottest moments in the history of the franchise.
And how much do we love the fact that she loved the fact that he was dressed as a cat?
Down to earth, grounded, and quirky.
She doesn't care what people think.
No.
You know, a lot of people in that position would be like, oh, ha ha, like, why is he dressed like a cat? That's weird. Instead, was like, he likes cats. I like cats. He dressed like a cat because he knows I like cats. And he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
His cat costume wasn't too good. You know, it kind of looked like he drew on his whiskers
himself.
Oh, it was
a crappy cat costume, yeah.
Just everything about this duo just feels kind of like they're just being weird together, anyone who listens to our podcast knows that we're all about being weird together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then even afterwards, he said in an ITM, I rushed the kiss a little bit, but I was so nervous. It just happened.
That was very endearing.
Very endearing.
And then he said, she's amazing. What did he say? She's.
So he said it just happened. And then he paused and he just said, she's awesome.
I just got chills. That's the first official chill in the history of this franchise.
Super, super cute.
Cute. He's cute.
I just love how it was him sort of critiquing his own exchange with her after the fact.
Yeah.
Like he was like, oh, I went in too fast. Like he was analyzing these little minute details.
He's introspective.
Yeah.
And he's vulnerable and he doesn't have a huge ego. It's just he's a good solid
dude.
Do we
think Justin afterwards was like, I went in for the kiss too fast? He wasn't.
Just take it easy on Justin.
Justin?
The jury's out on Justin.
I like Justin, but all right. I'm saying is that he went in for the kiss knowing he wanted to nail it down.
I think he was like,
kiss.
Score. Yeah. I got the kiss.
And meanwhile, Connor B, cat guy, you could tell was like, oh, I kind of wish I'd done that a little different because it's so special to him.
By the way, he says every guy who's went in for the first kiss dresses a cat. just to be clear. But yeah, it was endearing.
We're big Connor great. B fans, clearly.
Yeah, big fans.
Okay. Michael gets his one-on-one time. He has a four-year-old son, he reveals.
Mm.
And through this conversation, we learn something major.
Mm-hmm. Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. He asks Katie if she's okay with him having a kid, if she's into kids, if she wants kids. And she responds, I definitely want kids in some way, I think. You know, whether it's someone who already has a child, that's something I'm fine with. If someone doesn't want children, I think I'm also fine with that. Really, I'm just open to all scenarios. You mean a woman?
No children? You devil.
I mean, that's a first for this franchise. A woman as the bachelorette who's not like, I want five kids tomorrow. This is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I don't know if this is going to get the press it deserves, but we're giving it right now in our recap.
It's sometimes the bachelor doesn't even realize that the real hot topics are ones that they kind of just gloss over.
It's true. In general, I feel like there is a taboo for women to not necessarily want children or not know if they want children. And if they don't want children, they're considered selfish and, I don't know, not proper women.
Yes.
For not feeling their one mission in life is to mother a child. So
I'm giving this the flashpoint moment of the episode.
Flash.
And possibly the season.
The season.
For the episode.
Yeah, I don't.
I got carried away.
I have a feeling it may not come up again. The sex positivity will come up again, but her not necessarily being 100% sure about kids may not come up again, but it is easily, you're right, I agree, the flashpoint of the episode.
Yes.
I definitely want kids in some way.
Right.
In some way. That means like she would be open to nieces and nephews. Maybe she would be a mother. There's just
adoption or take his kid on.
The broadness of that is groundbreaking for this franchise. It just is.
Yep.
You would never in the past get a bachelorette saying that.
No.
They would all say they want to be a mother. They want kids.
Yes.
Period. Big deal.
I agree.
Flashpoint. Are we calling it Flashpoint?
I trademarked that.
An exciting development.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with wanting kids.
No. That's not the point of this. The point is
there's usually shame around not wanting kids.
It creates it's interesting for someone to be open-minded about the concept of potentially not having kids out of their body, at least. I'm trying to be the lowest bar.
Okay. Greg gets that first impression, Rose. I do feel like producers made sure that the two of them were sitting in the same area. It was just too uncanny.
Yeah.
All the guys were either inside or outside. That's not how it is. Usually producers are like, something's about to happen. Everyone sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're in that sort of U-shaped formation. I always analyze this in my written recaps. And all the guys were either inside in that U-shape or outside in that U-shape. There's no way that was just chance.
100%.
They made sure that the two guys were sitting there and then they're like, Katie, it's time for you to hand out that first impression, Rose. Were you surprised by?
I was surprised and not surprised. I think the edit that Cat Guy got was a little more strong for the viewer to think that he was going to get the first impression. But I think that the rapport and the chemistry with Greg really resonated with me.
More of a foundation built there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have been just the edit that fooled us.
Yeah, I agree with that. She makes out with Greg. And it's a good kiss.
I think it was the winner of the three kisses.
Yes, it was the hottest kiss, I would say, even though there was no cat makeup on their faces.
And Katie is not afraid to really ramp up the kissing
yes.
energy.
Yes, yes.
No quick little grandma pecks from Katie. No dry, closed mouth kisses.
So some brief mentions. I think people that just sort of stood out to me and to both of us. Carl, the motivational speaker, definitely yep. a lot of airtime.
But he's not going to. He's a third quarter elimination.
Third quarter elimination.
Yeah, classic third quarter.
Again, I thought he came off a little too polished / serious. A little Thomas-esque.
As you would expect a motivational speaker to be. Everything is like he's giving you a lesson in how to speak publicly.
I like him, but I want to see him kind of.
Nah, she's not.
Loosen up
Katie's
a bit.
Not gonna
but
be.
Who am I to talk? I mean, after my premiere, people said that I had a stick up my ass. So,
well, you do.
I'm telling you now. I'm paying that that compliment forward. Marcus, I don't know if he's going to make it far based on his near non-existent airtime, but I thought he was adorable.
Yeah, late first quarter elimination.
And then Trey, we don't have him in our predictions. Maybe we're wrong to do that, but he had the truck entrance with the ball pit. He had an intro video, a very cute one, plus a full limo exit and conversation shown. Plus, he was the first to have his name called out at the rose ceremony. I don't think he's winning.
No.
But I do think he'll be a major player in this season. He's going to have a story.
I'm telling you, third quarter.
We're going to hear Trey's story.
We will.
I'm confident.
There'll be drama with Trey. There'll be tears.
I don't know if there will be drama, but it'll be... There will be some sort of a heartfelt, maybe heart-wrenching story there.
Non-drama related, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to get to our predictions?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, you go first. Who do you think is winning?
Very boring answer for winner.
Yeah.
But I do think that Greg and Katie had a very palpable chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think they're made for each other.
Made for each other.
I really do.
Even though he's two, three years younger.
Let's not get into that. It's The Bachelor. Things are a little different. Got the first impression, Rose.
Big deal. Everything about his edit.
The kiss
was
the best. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry was the best. I know, as I know you know, that there's going to be some dramatic turn with Greg, but it's too good. Everything's too good right
now. Yeah, I agree completely. So I have Greg in my first spot as well. Mm. But we both know that based on night one, he will either not win or there will have to be a dip in the relationship. So some uncertainty will have to develop.
Some
about
conflict
his readiness.
Will develop in the second act.
Some conflict,
show.
Whether about his readiness. Which will be interesting because his whole MO in this episode was about how ready he is and how he wants kids. But yeah, there needs to be some kind of a dip. Otherwise, there's no way he's winning. Yeah. It's
I wouldn't
too
even
obvious.
Be surprised if there's some like girlfriend in the background that he kind of didn't tell her about. You know, it's like it's going to be something big, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I still
like
think he's going to win.
Okay.
He's going to fight through it.
And so who do you have in second place?
I have Cat Guy.
Okay.
Connor B.
Okay.
No I think that I don't need to explain this. There was obvious chemistry. The guy's great. He's weird. She's weird. It's good stuff. I think Cat Guy's got a strong second position.
I also, it's so predictable, but I also have Cat Guy in second position. And the reason I have him in second instead of first, because I don't think the first impression rose necessarily means that much, but A, I see Katie as the kind of woman who could pick her final pick on night one with a first impression rose.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are not great with that, but in general, bachelorettes have a better track record with
and
that.
And Katie
than
seems
bachelors.
To be amongst the best pickers of the bachelorettes.
Yeah, we think Katie has great taste.
Yeah, I think if Katie went to a bar with 27 very good looking eligible guys, she would leave that bar knowing who her guy was.
I agree.
More than most
people. We really respect and trust Katie's instincts and intelligence. Yes. With this.
We're so into Katie.
We really like Katie. This is high praise. Yeah. I mean, anyone thinking that this is normal for us,
no,
it's not.
Not normal for me.
So that's reason number one is I think Katie, of all people, of all leads, might be one to accurately pick her final pick on night one with the first impression rose. The second thing is I think had the kiss with Connor B / Cat Guy been through the roof amazing, she would have given him that rose.
I think you're right.
I think the kiss sort of
It was an 8 where it should have been 10.
It was hot to watch, but I think Greg's was the only kiss that had that first kiss magic.
I got to say, in my experience before B Charlene, BS, I had dates where I wasn't that into the girl.
Yeah.
And after the kiss, I was like into her.
Yes.
And, vice versa.
Yeah. Totally 100%
kiss is
the same.
Important.
Had that kiss been magic... I think he might have gotten that rose. And in general, I mean, Greg has all the trappings of major front runnerdom. So he not only got the first impression rose, he had major front runner entrance. He not only got an intro video, but he got full music change when he exited his limo, full conversation shown. And she touched his face the minute she met him. He was nervous. Yeah. And she said, "You're fine," while touching his face. Mm. And then when he left, she said, "He looks like my ex-boyfriend."
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to be talking about Cat Guy, but clearly Greg.
Oh, Greg.
Yeah, it keeps coming back to Greg. Okay, so Andy, who do you think is going to get third?
I am going with...
I love that you've memorized it.
Yes, I don't need to look at notes. I'm familiar with my choices. I'm going with the Viennese football player.
Andrew S. All right. He was definitely a constant presence throughout the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I had in third place, honestly, the rest of mine are all wild cards, somewhat. I have Christian, 26, the real estate investor from Boston.
You were enamored with Christian.
I was enamored.
Charlene wouldn't stop talking about how good looking he was. And he is good looking.
Christian is very attractive, but in that kind of like ruffled, maybe doesn't know how attractive he is attractive, kind of, hopefully. And in general, his night one edit suggested he might make it very far.
He's going places.
Yeah, he got his full limo exit, but he was definitely, decidedly under the radar. You saw commentary from him throughout and maybe the occasional ITM, and you saw just a brief snippet of his one-on-one time with Katie. But in general, he wasn't really at the forefront of night one, which is exactly where you want to put your predictions in my experience. So I don't know if he's going to win. I can see him making Final Four. Maybe I'm way off. But more importantly, I can see him lasting a while in the franchise in general. I can see him going to paradise. I can just sort of see Bachelor Girls wanting to date Christian.
You've got good instincts, so you're I trust you.
You're like, I'm not disagreeing with you. Stop talking about Christian and how great he is.
Yeah, we get it. You like Christian.
Okay, who do you have in fourth place?
My favorite painter, Justin.
You love Justin. How cute is that?
Something about Justin resonates with me, and I think that he's going to both rise above the occasion and rise below the occasion. I guess you don't rise.
Descend below.
He's going to descend. There's going to come a point where you're like, wow, Justin really surprised us. And then there's going to come a point where you're like, oh, Justin's effed. Yeah, but I still think he has a shot at four. But I have a feeling that I'm going to have egg on my face on this one.
So question. Justin's the exact same in every way, but his painting is only okay. Because we were wowed by his painting.
Oh,
it was amazing.
See, I don't even have him in the top 10.
So the fact that his painting was so amazing is why you have him so highly ranked.
The fact that his painting is amazing not only says that he's an amazing painter, it shows other things about him, I think.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It also shows that his confidence in his painting is not misplaced.
Yes. Yes.
Which says a lot about him.
Justin.
And his intro with the paintbrush, again, tied into that. It wasn't just a random prop.
Nope, he's a real painter.
Oh my God.
He knows how to weave a joke. He goes in for the kiss way too soon, but I respect that. And he's a good-looking guy, and he's quirky and seems together, and I'm into Justin.
In general, good quirkiness among the men.
Quirkiness is a key
good-looking
element.
Good-looking guys, and a lot of them were quirky in a good way.
Do you want to know something? Even people who aren't quirky at all love quirky. Quirky is good.
Unless they're so unquirky that quirkiness makes them uncomfortable and makes them, they associate quirkiness with uncoolness.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
But then they're just extremely basic.
So in my fourth place, I have Brendan, the hockey player from Toronto.
Yeah, I don't feel strong about that.
I know. Because he didn't come off really funny. And
he's
we know.
Too serious.
Yeah, but night one is not an accurate predictor for one's seriousness or sense of humor.
I agree.
Based on my night one, you would think that I had no sense of humor. So, and maybe my entire edit, you would think I had no sense of humor. But my point is just something about his overall edit. Again, he had the intro video, full exit and conversation shown, just a snippet of interaction of them playing hockey together. It reminded me a lot of Serena P., also from Toronto, from Matt James' season, who made it to Final Four.
Yeah.
She had almost no showing on night one, but she did make it quite far.
I
can see Brendan sticking around.
I respect your analysis. I do think that he's a hunk. And he's Canadian, so he's going to be a real gentleman and very nice and well-spoken.
Also, Canadian sense of humor, they don't necessarily have that at, on the onset.
Yes.
But you might discover it as you hang out with them.
I think you're right. I think he makes it pretty far, but I don't see him top four.
Okay. Your wild card prediction.
The angel Gabriel. So handsome.
So handsome.
On literally on looks alone, I'm picking him. And if he had any, I guarantee you, he's terrible at acting. But if he had any acting chops, you'd recognize him. Be like, oh, that's the guy who's in all those movies. He'd be a famous actor.
He has the face of a famous actor.
Great face. He has a face of like any, it could be like 1700s to 2021. That guy is handsome.
It's true. Yeah. He's like old timey handsome too.
Yes. Honestly, so there was nothing about his personality that I really liked. I thought he was a little creepy in the limo exit and he didn't say anything funny and doesn't seem to be really featured that much, but he's my wild card. Okay. That's the definition of a wild card.
Yes.
Totally out of the blue.
My wild card is David, 27, technical product specialist. Oh. Very under the radar.
Yeah.
His full exit was shown.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade. Complete with his capri pants.
Yeah, everyone's pulling off these capri pants. Am I supposed to do that now?
He was just really adorable. I loved how in his one-on-one time he was really nervous and she comforted him. There was just a sweetness there that I appreciated and I could see him making it further than any of us would expect. Mm-hmm. So David is, he's my understated, but I think safe wild card.
I like your wild card better than mine. But Gabriel is so handsome.
He's so handsome.
I mean, come on.
Yes. He has to know it.
Oh,
that's the difference between him and Christian. Christian has a vibe of being like, yeah, I'm from Boston. I might not know how hot I am. While Gabriel's like...
The thing is, I think he may be too handsome for his own good. I think he's been so handsome his whole life that he hasn't maybe had to develop other things.
A personality?
Yeah.
That's a little harsh.
But if he does have a personality, I'm going to be very pleased.
Yes.
I want to see Gabriel just full blown.
And you'll be reminding us all of your wild card on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's it for this recap. What will we call these? Shandy?
That's the recaps?
Shandy caps? Shandy recaps?
Shandy cap. Shandy cap.
That sounds like
it
handicap.
You're right. It sounds like handicap.
Shandy recaps.
I think just let's go down the middle. Yeah. Shandy recap.
We're also open to ideas.
Yes. Any ideas, bring them. Also, the number of times they say sex positive in the next episode.
Okay, yeah. So in your comments, predict how many times they say sex positive in the next episode. We will be keeping track.
Yes.
And any ideas for what to call these other than Shandy recaps, which is incredibly uncreative.
Please.
Do you have anything anyone you want to add?
No, I'm sure we'll have more to add next time.
Thank you for joining me on this, Andy. You made normally a night one recap is kind of grueling, and you made it enjoyable.
I got to be honest, I'm honored to be with the queen of Bachelor recaps.
Yeah, you've been married to her for quite some time, but
I feel like
we haven't been involved.
We are finally actually married now that we're doing
it's
recaps
complete.
Together.
Yeah, we're officially the same person, melded into one.
Yeah.
All right,
Shandy.
Good job. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please keep following along with us this season. And you can also show us your support by liking this video, subscribing, hitting the notification bell, following us on Instagram, leaving us an iTunes rating/review, and telling your friends, and generally doing all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. And on that note, I think we can wrap. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Dear Shandy, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Dear Shandy.